15. How many have either cable system or dish network or whatever? I'm going to talk about stuff this morning that every one of you have heard since probably the day when you got born again. But I don't know if you are like me, which I'm sure you might be. I do not like commercials. And so on our network system, our dish network, is that what we have, right? Dish network?
Dish.
We've got Fox News, and we've got the ones I watch at least, Fox News. We've got Headline News, HLN. Then we have CNN. And then we have ABC, NBC, and CBS. So I've got six news stations. And usually in the mornings is when this happens more than not, but I'll turn on Fox. And I'll listen to a story. And then the commercial will come on, and I'll flip it to HLN, and sure enough, right there, it's all over again, same story. So I'll flip it again. I get down to CNN, and there's a story again. And if it's in the mornings, almost, not always, but almost, I'll flip it down to ABC, there it is again. NBC, there it is again. CBS, there it is again. And I get hardened to the seriousness of the problem. I was thinking about yesterday, I was praying, and the Lord said, I want you to talk about good news. I said, God, everybody knows good news. He said, I want you to talk about good news. So we're going to talk about good news. I don't want you flipping the channel on me. I don't want you to think because you've heard this before that there's got to be something on a better channel. Because if you do, you're going to find it again. And if you flip it again, you just got to flip it. So stay with me. Amen?
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to talk about the gospel. The word gospel is our word in the English language, the word gospel, comes from a Old English word that was called good story. And over the years, the phrase they call etymology, the words evolve, and they take on different characteristics as they're used over the centuries, and it's no longer called the good story, it's called the gospel. And the word gospel in the King James Version, I'm using NIV right now, but the Greek, I should say better, so it would be in this one too, but it's not always translated as gospel, over 100 times. Because God came with good news. Amen. Not old, remade news, but good news. And here in verse 1 of chapter 15, it says, Now, brethren, I want to remind you of the gospel, the good news I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I pass on to you, as of the first importance, that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 23, Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Good news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed some of them. Oh, it says he healed them. All-inclusive statement, I guess. Large crowds from Galilee and Decapolis, the 10-city area, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. One more scripture. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. In verse 14, Romans 1:14, Paul says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Good news. Amen. It's a good story. It's a good truth. Jesus, in Matthew, Matthew says, they came preaching the good news and preaching the kingdom of God. I think it's important to recognize that when Jesus came preaching, Paul says in Romans 1 that the gospel is to the Jew first and then the Gentile. That Jesus came as a Jew. John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Greek says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was face to face with God. The Word was God. He didn't become God. Jesus didn't become God. He's always been God. Amen. Jesus was his earthly name, but as a second person of the Trinity, he's always existed. John says, in the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was face to face with God. The Logos was God. Then in verse 14 of that first chapter it says, and the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as it were the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus came from the Father. I love what Paul says in Philippians 2. He says Jesus Christ was the very essence of God and did not think that it was a difficult thing to let go of that deity, that rights to deity and take on the very essence of humanity. And in taking on the very essence of humanity, he became one with us. Walked upon the face of the earth, humbled himself even to the death of the cross. The Father exalted him, set him in his own right hand, and gave him the name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm preaching good news this morning. Now Paul says, if you don't believe that Jesus came as God, Peter says, if you don't believe that Jesus came as God, walking in the flesh, you're Antichrist. And that's a dangerous position to be, Antichrist. Now Jehovah's Witnesses, that's what they teach, that Jesus didn't come as God. He was made a God by virtue of the resurrection. I promise you that that's a cult. They've got their own translation. They twisted things around to justify what they wanted to say about Jesus. Jesus didn't become God. He's always been God. Amen. I said he didn't become God. He's always been God. Amen. Now, it's important to believe that Jesus is God, because if you don't believe that he's God, you can't be saved. You hear what I'm saying? You can't be saved just by believing in God. James says in his writing, he says, even demons believe. But we know they're not saved. So believing doesn't get you saved. It's understanding that Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus went to the cross as God. You see, man couldn't die for man's sin and qualify for God. God had to come and die for man. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? God died for man. And when God died for man in the person of Jesus Christ, that's, you see, the only way he could have a perfect sacrifice was for God to die for humanity. You could look all over for an appropriate sacrifice, and you could never find one. John looked into the holiest of holies in the heavenlies, the throne room of God. And he that sat upon the throne had a book, and there were seven seals upon the book. And it was the prophetic disclosure of God fully revealing Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the end of Revelation. But John began to cry because no one was found worthy to open up the book. But Jesus walked in, the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. He was found worthy to open up the seals of the book. And when he did, he unfolded the revelation of God himself that says Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad I said all that. I'm glad I shouted all that. Hallelujah. You see, we just don't have anybody in our lives. We have God. See, that's what makes you different than the world. It makes you the redeemed church of the living God. And the redeemed church is made up of Jewish people, Gentile people. That's the only two races of people that are in the church of God. You understand what I'm saying? There aren't any Jewish people going to heaven. And there aren't any Gentiles going to heaven. Once you get born again, you cease to be a Jew and you cease to be a Gentile. You become part of the body of Christ, the redeemed church of the living God, the temple of the living God, entertaining the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And the Bible says that John looked up and he saw someone coming on a white throne, on a white horse, and behind him were the armies of the living God, clothed in robes of white linen, which was the righteousness of the saints of the living God. Hallelujah. We're going to come back and we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. If you're a Gentile at that point, you stay one. If you're a Jewish person at that point, you stay one. It's the church of the living God. Now, God, folks, by no means, the Jewish nation is a favored nation of God. Don't ever mistake that. I don't believe in replacement theology. The church has not replaced Israel. We live at a higher level than they do. See, Jewish people don't have the Spirit of God in them like the church does. And Gentiles don't have in them the Spirit of God like the church does. Paul says in Galatians 3, he says, in Christ there was neither Jew or Gentile, bond or free, barbarian or Scythian. Yeah. Oh man, I'm glad I said all that stuff. Here's what the Jewish prophets did not understand. They did not understand the church age. They did not see the church of Jesus Christ in their prophetic writings. You will find the church mentioned in the Old Testament. You will find the coming of the Messiah. He is coming. I said, He is coming. Amen. But He's coming to rule on this earth. But we will have been raptured by Him 7 years before He shows up. And when He comes, we will come with Him. With redeemed bodies. John says, we don't know like what we're going to be like when He comes, but we do know we're going to be just like Him. Amen. And Paul says that we're going to, in an atomic second, when the trumpet blows, we're going to be changed, and our mortality is going to take on an immortality, and this flesh is going to take on an undying body of Christ called the redeemed church of the living God. Boy. I just finished writing a book on Revelation, and I'm just in my mind all the time. Man, I'm excited about it. I'm going to the printer this week. When it comes back, I'll let you buy one. You'll find out Solomon's take on that stuff. But I want you to know something, folks, that when Jesus came, He came to fulfill the mystery. See, Paul said that there was the church is a mystery. To the Colossian church, he says, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jewish theology did not open the door for God to move on the inside of people. He said, that's going to happen when the new covenant comes. They lived under the old covenant. Now, this is why I'm a little on edge about the push that you're seeing in a lot of different media outlets to try to get us back to fulfilling the Jewish feast and the Jewish worship. Folks, don't do that. Amen. Paul says that the Jewish form of worship was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Amen. He said it was a shadow of what Jesus is. Right. You don't embrace the shadow of Jesus, you embrace the reality of Jesus when you get born again. You've heard the phrase, the shadow of a dog never bit anybody. Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not the real shadow, not the reality, but the shadow. You see, the body of Christ is not the shadow of Christ. It is the body of Christ. Amen. Yes! Man, this stuff gets me. Paul said that the mystery was hidden throughout the Old Testament. And God hid it on purpose because they were not of a spiritual insight to be able to perceive what it was. The only way you can enter into the church of Jesus Christ is by virtue of being born again. At that point, God awakens your spirit. And as He told Nicodemus in John 3, He says, you'll not just see the kingdom of God, but by obedience, you'll be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And he went on to say, he says, Nicodemus, listen to this. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he did not come to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. Hallelujah. So you see, the whole bottom line was he came to redeem us. Not to put another system of rules and regulations upon us. So he came preaching the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom. You see, what Jewish people didn't understand, and what a lot of theologians still don't understand, is the kingdom of God is not just future, it is present tense. And Paul says in Romans 14, he says, the kingdom of God is not meats, drinks, and works of righteousness, but it is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So when you get born again, you receive the Holy Ghost, and the kingdom of God moves on the inside of you. Now Jesus, in Matthew, he says he went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. See, it was such good news. It was awesome news. But you know what? There were a bunch of people that changed channels on him. They wouldn't listen to him. They didn't want his kingdom teaching. They wanted the old kingdom, the kingdom of David. He says, no, I'm bringing about a new kingdom. And this new kingdom is eternal in its scope. But it begins right now in the heart. You see, Jesus told Pilate, he says, if my kingdom was of this world, he said, my followers would fight for this kingdom. But my kingdom is not of this world. It's of another world. But it was present in this world in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you receive him, you receive the kingdom. When you receive him, you receive the benefits of the kingdom. Now the benefits of the kingdom was healing every disease and sickness among the people. Paul tells us that the kingdom of God is salvation to everyone who believes. Told you this is old stuff. I know you know this stuff. But I want to remind you of it. Peter said twice in his epistle, I want to bring your mind into remembrance. So I want to stir your mind up. Get you thinking again about kingdom living. You see, you're not going to live in the kingdom. You live in it right now. There will be a physical manifestation of the kingdom. But you see, you're not going to live in that kingdom. You're going to administrate that kingdom. Says we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Hello?
Amen.
You're going to have... Paul says in one place, he says, you're literally going to have thrones of rulership over the Gentile world. Over the Jewish world. Man, if we only realize what we have in store for us. That's why we need to start living like a king now. We need to start living kingdom principles now. Now, what's interesting is that we don't choose to live kingdom principles by virtue of our own energy. I love what I said Wednesday night. I'll say it again tonight or today. Paul said that I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't live by the faith in the Son of God. I live by his faith at work in me. So you see, when we walk this thing out, we're just simply complying with what the Word says. We're just saying, well, Father, it's what your Word says. I'm just going to do it.
Amen.
I mean, soteria is the concept of salvation. Healing, wholeness, and deliverance. It's the cousin to the word sozo, which means salvation, healing, wholeness, and deliverance. Now Jesus came preaching this good news. Now the good news is then that we don't have to be bound by past sin. When we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, He breaks the chains of control that past sin had in our life. That's now history. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm a new believer, a new creation. I've got a new birth. I'm living no longer in the kingdom of darkness. Paul says in Colossians, he says, we're translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The rules of the kingdom of darkness no longer have authority in my life. I now live by the freedom that comes from the rulership of the kingdom of His Son, the Son of love, the Son of the living God. I'm a free person. Why? Because He made me free. Hallelujah! He made me free. I didn't make myself free. He made me free. Now, if He made me free, then He is committed to keep me that way. Jesus said in John 8, He says, if you continue in My word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah! You don't get free and then fall back into bondage. You get free and you stay free by going to this book and reading. What does the kingdom actually mean? The kingdom actually means that the King of the kingdom has brought His kingdom into my life, and now He sits on the throne of my life, and I got off, I abdicated, and I said, You sit on the throne of my life, and You tell me what I should do, You tell me what I should think, You tell me what I should say. I'll follow Your rulership and not my own. And when that happens, I release into my life a mechanism called the Holy Spirit of God that will empower me to walk just like Jesus did. Doesn't mean we're super spiritual. Doesn't mean we never make mistakes. It means we have the power of God on the inside. I hate to say this, but and I hate to even bring this analogy into it, but I will. Went golfing the other day with Mike. Oh, what an experience. But anyway. But here's the thing, you see. For those of you who don't know this, and Mike found out about it, I spend a lot of time in what is called the rough. Mike's always had a good game to stay right in the middle of the fairway. But he's in recovery right now. He's a recovering golfer. And but anyway, he spent some time over in the rough.
All day.
Yeah, a lot. What I'm saying is that sometimes we stray off to here and off to there. But in golf, you see, it's not where you are, it's where you wind up. You can be over here in the rough, but if you do a good recovery shot, you'll get right back up there where the green is, and that's where the prize is. You need to understand, sometimes we'll get off into the rough, we'll make some wrong choices, we'll slice, we'll hook, we'll duck, we'll fade. But you know what? When Jesus, we get back on the fairway and wind up on the green where the prize of the highest calling of the Most High God is. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory! I never thought I'd get golfing like that. Someone ought to write a book about that, golf. Oh, but think about it. I'm free. I'm free. He makes me free. You see, and that's why Paul says our boasting is not in ourselves. Our boasting is in the cross. Because you see, it's the cross that breaks the power of sin in our life. And it's the Holy Ghost that applies the principles of kingdom living to our heart and empowers us to be able to walk in that kingdom Walk in those principles. And you see, as we're walking along, sometimes we'll make a stupid decision, we'll do something, and we wind up off the rough. But I promise you, if you just listen quietly, God will get you the right golf club, and he'll get you the right swing, and boom, you're out of the mess, back in the main fairway where you want to be. Amen. Healing. What happens when I pray for healing and it doesn't come right now? Well, that just means we give up. We just quit believing. If it doesn't come right now, it's God's will for us not to get healed. That's what some of my pastor buddies around town believe. It's better than what some of them believe. Some of them don't believe even pray at all. Some of them just figure if you get sick, that's your burden to bear. And I've told them when they brought that to my attention, I said, you know what? Why should we bear the burden of sickness when Jesus bore that burden? So very clearly in my mind, it's always God's will to heal. Amen. I never accept sickness as the will of God. Amen. Never do, under any circumstances. And I've been in hospitals for 47 years praying with people. And my mantra is this: if there's breath, you keep believing. Amen. And some died believing God, but some got healed, walked out of that hospital believing God. I love what Copeland says. He says, you know what? He says, if you're dying of sickness, he says, I'd rather die believing God for healing than die believing God for death. Never stop believing. Never stop trusting God as your healer. What happens if it doesn't? You see, I'm not in charge of the outcome. I'm not in charge of the healing. I can't, you know, I mean, I know some of you find it hard to believe that I don't have an answer for something. I don't know why some people are healed, why some people aren't. I'll find out when I get to heaven. I used to say what Catherine Kuhlman used to say, that when I get there, I'm going to ask God why. Well, I don't believe you need to ask God why. When you get there, you'll know. Paul says we'll know all things. So I'm not, you know. But the point being is that I hate sickness. There is nothing in my life that I despise any worse than sicknesses that just literally cripple people's lives to the point where they can't function. I just hate it. But I have to make sure that when I function in prayer, I'm functioning in faith and not hate. Does that make sense? You see, don't let your emotion about what is attacking your body affect your faith praying. Because your emotion is not going to get you healed. It's going to be God is going to get you healed. And our faith just simply keeps ourselves. You see, your faith doesn't get God to do something. Your faith gets you out of the self into the God, things of God. God has already healed us according to the word. See, when you enter into the kingdom, you enter into salvation and you enter into healing. You know what I'm saying? What happens if it doesn't come right away, Pastor? Go tell God. Go complain to God. Don't complain to me because I don't have an answer for you. I don't know. But you know what? I don't act on what I don't know. Let me rephrase that. I don't cease to act on what I don't know. I act on what I know. What I know is his name is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that heals thee, the word says. And if I'm the God that heals thee, you know what? I'm going to lay claim to the God who heals.
Amen.
And I've believed for years the healing comes medically and healing comes supernaturally. I'd rather have it come supernaturally. It's a whole lot easier. There's no pain involved in his kind of healing. Medically speaking, those doctors attack your body like they're out to get something. And they are. They're out to get that garbage out of your body. But in the process of trying to get that garbage out of your body, they attack you. And to make you feel better, they put you asleep first. Yeah, praise God. Amen. And thirdly and lastly, wholeness. Kingdom living produces wholeness. Wholeness is, in my estimation, completeness. Being fulfilled in who you are as a person. Not just a believer, but as a person. Wholeness. In wholeness, God wants to heal you from the past garbage that the devil brought into your life. You know, when he throws a bombshell into your life, you know, obviously it's traumatic. And we get past the trauma and we experience some recovery. But invariably there's some long-term stuff that's still serving. In years ago, they used to have, I don't remember, you might remember the name of it. It was a bomb they used in Vietnam, the phosphorus. I think it was a phosphorus. It was a substance that once it exploded next to a person's body, it would just keep burning them until it would kill them, unless it was put out by some substance. But it wasn't just an explosiveness to it, though it was. But who's that guy that extremely disfigured? You've seen him on TBN. He's a what is it? Yeah, Dave. Anyway, his first name is Dave. And his face is extremely disfigured. And what happened was he was getting ready to throw a grenade. And when he did, it went off. And it had this phosphorus content to it. And what it did is it nearly killed him. But the phosphorus just kept burning him until someone finally got that out. And
specifically, it's white phosphorus.
White phosphorus? Thank you. What did I say? Oh, you just said white phosphorus. Okay, all right. Thank you. But the point being is its function. It just keeps burning. And I've thought oftentimes, that's what happens to us, is the enemy comes in, he throws in a bombshell, and we react to it, and the trauma, you know, throws us clear off course, and we get kind of put back on balance, but there's that constant emotional burning on the inside that just constantly pains us. I mean, it affects our relationships, it affects how we function, it affects how we look at ourselves. It just deals a blow to our psyche on the inside of us, and it's just like we're deficient in just a bunch of different ways. And people who come out of those kind of environments, I mean, oftentimes men who come back who've been severely injured in wartime, one of the first things that crumbles is their marriage, because they've been so just rattled on the inside that it just basically makes them dysfunctional, and they can't relate humanly, relationally. And before you know it, things closer to them just begin to unravel and just kind of fall away. Well, that's a system of sin, similar to sin, how it affects us. But Jesus came to heal that. And part of the kingdom is to heal us emotionally, heal us psychologically, heal us that's the beauty of forgiveness. When you forgive people from how badly they've hurt you, it frees you from the past sin against you. Every time you see them, you feel something on the inside because you know what they did to you. But when you forgive them, they come into your life, you don't see them as that other person. You see them as a forgiven person. Oh, my. See, that's what the Lord said. The Lord said he came to bring good news. There's good news. You don't have to live in sin anymore. There's good news that you don't have to be bound by sickness anymore. There's good news that all the deficiencies of past experiences that have just torn you apart on the inside, somehow God knows how to get in and unravel all of that dysfunction and put you straight and get you functioning in such a way that you're a positive, productive person in every relationship, not just some. Gets us to the point to where we truly are a reflection of a kingdom living person, not someone who lives under themselves, fully focused and consumed with their own selfishness, but always in, it's just like we fulfill the law that Jesus gave us. We're blessed greater in our giving than we are in our receiving. All of a sudden, we no longer look at life in terms of what can it give me. We don't look at relationships in terms of what can I get back. It's just everything's just a giving. How can I bless you? How can I give myself to you to embetter your life? Amen. But Jesus says kingdom living is backwards according to the natural man. Kingdom living always thinks in terms of how can I be a giver to someone. Selfish living says, how can this person make me better? I mean, you've heard me talk in the past about people say, I just really want God to answer my prayer. And we happen to have in our church a guy who runs a tire store. And I need new tires for my car. And so when he goes down to the altar to pray, I get next to him and I say, oh Lord, help me with my new car. I mean, my car. I need some new tires. Hello? Or we just conveniently mention to people who have the resources to meet a need we have in life that we have a need for what they have. The fact is, God knows what you have need of before you even ask. And He owns all the gold and silver in the hills. I've heard He owns all the cattle on the hills and all the taters under the hills. I enjoyed myself Friday night. We went to service up to Faith Gospel Tabernacle and heard Pastor Willett minister. And afterwards, we went and had something to eat. And they had mashed potatoes and gravy. And was that pork? And corn and a nice salad and some dessert. I didn't eat any of it because I'm so disciplined. You lie, you fry? Okay, I admit. I've piled up my plate with mashed taters and I filled it full of gravy. And I ate that meat. It was good. And what? And you know what I didn't do yesterday morning? I did not get on the scale. I didn't even get on the scale this morning because you know what? That stuff carries over 2 or 3 days sometimes. So what you do, you get away with as least as you can. Father, we come before you today. Lord, we're so awesomely thrilled with you. Lord, we thank you for your kingdom. You authored it, and you initiated it, and you opened up the door so that we could walk in and be a part of your kingdom just by virtue of receiving Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. You went to the cross. You died for our sin. You gave us the opportunity to confess you as Lord and receive you as a personal Savior. And receive the gift of eternal life. Lord, you did those things. And the only thing you require out of us is to believe and to confess with our mouths and place the trust that we need for the goodness of God over on your shoulders and relieve us from the pressure to perform on our own. God, I can't get over how gracious, how merciful you are. Because, Lord, you could have required of us, as you did the Old Testament saints, to constantly be bringing offerings to, as a means of acceptance with you. But, Lord, you finished that off by becoming the only sacrifice, the only offering that we needed to trust in. And you became that offering for us. And you were offered for us. And, Father God, you received your Son as the perfect sacrifice for us. And now you're no longer just Jehovah. You are Father. And your fatherhood embodies all of what the Old Testament says about you in the many different names that you gave them, to reveal a character of your desire to touch them. But now, as Father, all of that is embodied in our relationship with you. So Lord, help us today to simply receive what your kingdom says belongs to us. And it's not that we're worthy of it. We're not suggesting that in a moment. But we're saying you've offered, and all we have to do is receive. So I ask you in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would do the work of healing, wholeness, restoration, deliverance in each of our lives. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can we just tell him, thank you? Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. We heard last week, Father, that thank you is the password in your presence. So, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for healing, Father. Thank you for restoration of every issue in our lives. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you. We can trust you to carry us through to that point of complete and total deliverance in every area of our lives. In the name of Jesus. All you want us to do, Lord, is to trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you need healing in your body, I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for Russ. He's got rheumatoid arthritis in his fingers, and it's this one here, and it's affecting his ability to even play the guitar. But if you need healing this morning, and here's the thing, I've been praying yesterday about this. Lord, I'm not going to make a big show out of this. I'm just going to do what your word says. I'm going to lay hands on people. That's all I'm going to do, Lord. And the rest is up to you. I'm not responsible to heal anybody. But I know, he said, if believing ones lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's all I'm at. So if you need prayer this morning for healing your body, why don't you come forward? Just make a single line across here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We got some room over here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, you know this. I don't need to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You know there's no healing in me. Okay? Healing's in Jesus. All right? And I want us just to lift our hands, and I just want to begin to thank the Father that we're healing, that we're being healed. Now, just a minute. Just not yet. Not yet, please. Not yet. Listen to me. I'm simply going to touch you with my hands. All I'm going to do. My touching you is simply an agreement that the Holy Spirit is here as the healer. That's all I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to beat you up. I'm not going to break your neck trying to knock you over. Just going to touch you. But it's just a point of agreement. He says if two of you is touching the same thing, shall agree that if necessary, I'll bring forth a miracle. So what I want you to do is I just want you to lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, that you are the healer. I'm just going to come down through you. I'm going to touch you in Jesus' name. That's all I'm going to do. And I'm going to leave the rest up to God. I'm just going to leave the rest up to God. Would you just begin to give him thanks right now? Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. 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 Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Oh, you're the healer, Father. You're the healer, Father. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Rheumatoid arthritis. You have to leave this hand. In the name of Jesus. You have to leave this body. In the name of Jesus. Every bit of pain has to go, Father. You're the healer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. Your kingdom, Lord God, brings healing. Your kingdom brings healing, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. Healing, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Healing, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Healing, Father. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, Father. You're the healer. You're the healer, Father. You're the healer, Father. Your will is being carried out in these people's bodies, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're the healer, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're the healer, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. I lay hands, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, according to your word, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father. Let's pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah, Lord. We trust you this morning, Jesus. We trust you this morning, Jesus. You're the healer. It's your name. You said to lay hands on the sick, Father. We've done that in your name, Lord. Now it's up to you. We thank you, Father. Father, we curse fear right now. We curse fear, Lord God, about the future. In Jesus' name, we curse fear about the future, Lord. We curse fear about tomorrow morning, Lord, waking up and wondering, is it still here? Is it gone? Father, we curse fear. We declare, Lord God, that you are the healer. You are the one who brings health and wholeness to our bodies in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father, for the impossible.
Thank you, Hoba. Rababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababab Thank you, Father. Awesome God that you are, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Father. We give you thanks, Father. We glory in you today, Jesus. We glory in you today, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are bringing about healing in this body of believers. You are bringing about healing in this body of believers in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the one on your right. The one on your right, say their name out loud. Okay. Now the one on your left, say their name out loud. One on your right, say their name out loud. One on your left, say their name out loud. Okay, now what you're going to do this week, every day, this is your assignment, every day, you're going to breathe their name as in a prayer of thanksgiving. Father, thank you for touching this person. You don't have to get into particulars. God knows all the particulars. You're just going to thank God. Thank God that person is healed. Thank you, Father, that person. But name them. I thank you that Carol is healed in Jesus' name. And I thank you that Jill is healed. I thank you. See, that's your assignment this week. Okay? Every one of you. And I'm saying that, it's okay, obviously walk in thanksgiving that you're being healed, but I want you to get out of the mode of what you need for your body and take on the responsibility of what they need for theirs. So we're going to be givers this week, not receivers. We're going to be givers. Lord, I'm giving thanks for these ones in my life. And let's believe God for some victory reports. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, give somebody a hug and tell them you love them.